Welcome and thank you for joining us. At Worship Harvest, we believe that we are a movement of the gospel, discipleship, and mission. And we are committed to catalyzing spiritual, social, and economic renewal in our immediate communities. And as a result, the world. Here is this week's teaching.
Well, let's see. We have lots of people, wonderful people online. They are telling us which MC they belong to. Masi Nabirie, Audrey Natukunda, Happy Martina, Michelle Chirabo, Tracy Beatrice Birunji, Patience Kaposh.
Hey,
from Kigali.
Come on.
Now, well, today we don't have much time because we have three people here and we are here to talk. So, we've been going through the book of Ephesians.
What a book.
Did you say that
since
book?
January.
Through?
Or the chapter?
I don't know about through, but we've been going through a chapter.
Studying the book of Ephesians.
The chapter one.
And as of last Wednesday, we finished chapter one.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Since January.
January.
So 3 months per chapter. And it has 6 chapters. So
wow.
I don't know when we shall reach chapter 6.
2025.
Talking about warfare,
yes.
Standing, fighting, and
yeah.
All of that. So for those of you who like war, I'm sorry, we are not yet at chapter 6. We are still in chapter 1 where we are affirming our identity. In him we have got redemption through his blood.
Oh, yes.
In him we have an inheritance.
Oh, yes.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in
Christ.
Oh, yes, you are a blessed person.
I am.
So if you're joining us, wherever you're joining us from, Uganda, Kenya, Rwanda, US, Germany, UK, greetings to Worship Harvest UK, Canada. The other day, Pastor Jean sent me a list of all the countries where we have Worship Harvesters.
Yes.
And it's about how many countries?
30.
About 30 countries where there are people from Worship Harvest, part of your church family.
Yeah. Wow.
In 30 countries.
Oh, yes. Wow.
And some of them may not be many, but they are there.
They join us,
they watch us.
Oh, yes.
They are preaching, they are praying, they are believing God for revival in their cities.
That's
what we are all about, to bring massive numbers of people to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Disciple them and deploy them. And at Worship Harvest, we plant life-giving,
disciple-making,
community-renewing
churches.
And if you have not planted a church, you're the only one. The one thing you must do before you die,
you know,
everyone has a bucket list.
Mm.
On your bucket list, on top of the bucket.
Why is it called a bucket?
You don't know English.
I don't know.
They say when you die, say has kicked the bucket.
Why? Why is it a bucket? Why do we kick buckets?
We need to research on it.
Okay.
I don't know why when you're dying you'd ask
don't
for a bucket
like a
to
bucket.
Be near
yeah.
you.
Why?
So it's called
bucket list.
So many people's bucket list is to
skydive.
Yes. What else?
Oh yes.
Bungee jump.
I know, guys.
Things that are generally dangerous to you.
Exactly.
mountain climb.
Boat cruise.
Boat cruise. Yeah.
Is that on a bucket list?
For real?
No,
for
no,
some?
Not boat cruise. This one is not about
like
these ones of Lake Victoria with brown water.
No.
What's that? Like a proper cruise where you go on a cruise ship.
You mean
cruise.
Canoe cruise?
No. Let's keep it.
Look, if you go for a cruise, here is the key. If you go for a cruise and you can touch the water from the vessel,
are you on a cruise?
In which you are, it's probably not the one.
You're on a boat. Don't add the word cruise. On a boat. You are boating.
So your bucket list should have on top is planting a church. We are not apologetic about that.
We
respect church planters. So to have the team of New Thing here who are catalyzing movements of church. Catalyzing church planting movements. Anyway, we had Man Talk on Friday and we promised that we'll take a short break in our Ephesians study and have a family moment. Three Wednesdays
to talk
about man talk. What does it mean to be a man? you were present in the room, you watched online, what do you remember from Friday? Those who are online, please tell us what about men, what is itching you? What is the thing that is itching you? What's the thing that you wish we men could fix, or that you want God to fix in us? Tell us.
Tell us online. Tell us online. Probably, so tell us what you remember.
We also have moderators. If you use bad language, they may remove
you.
Mercy, Lord. Mercy. Let's go. Of course, I remember the different things Apostle talked about, especially the man and his maker. Mm. The very first point that as a man, one of the things that you must do is to connect with your maker. And he was very practical in telling us that if you want to connect with your maker as a man, one of the things you need to do is go to bed early. Go to bed early, because you will wake up, you'll be able then to wake up early and spend time reading your Bible and spend time praying. That was very practical and profound.
Yes.
Because then it sets you up to thrive in your mission with your maiden, with your munchkins. And
with your maiden? What a maiden.
Yes.
This man was there.
Me, that's what I remember.
What do you remember? Tell us.
I remember the man and his maiden.
Hey.
I specifically remember Director Grace saying, women are beautiful. I agreed with him. He said they are so beautiful. And how men look at the beauty of women. You guys be pretending that you don't see us, but you'll be seeing us.
Nice hair.
Even when they are married, they see beautiful women.
Hey, what a shock.
Then he said, then he told men how to deal with that thing.
What did
that
he say?
That was my highlight. He told the men that when you see her, you imagine her married, and one day you'll meet her pregnant with twins. And then you'll congratulate her, and it won't matter anymore.
Some men are diehards. Even when they find out with twins, they will not.
Oh my God! No, I think that what solves it is the man and his maker.
Yeah.
The man and his mentor. The man and his
men.
Just those three. If you just dealt with just those three, you're already protected.
So for those who are taking notes in your MC, let's break it down.
Break it down.
Seven M's. You know, there are too many. We had five at first, but then we added two.
Yeah, we love it.
And the first one is the man and his maker. When you're looking at a man, you're asking, what is his relationship with God? The man and his maker. And for us as men, those who are watching and those who have men in your lives, you have a husband, you have a son, you have a father, you have an uncle, you have brothers. And all of you have a pastor. Mercy.
My God.
The man and his
maker.
Because say, let us make man in our own
image.
In our own likeness. Right? We can come back to some of that.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be the framework through which we discuss in these coming few weeks. And the women who are online and annoyed, you're not coming. There will be another season where we do women.
Women. Yeah?
Oh, we can't wait.
Yeah, so relax. So the man and his maker. And when it comes to the man and his maker, challenges begin when the man is unaware of his identity in Christ.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, you find someone is searching and searching. Searching, and then they think, if I get married, I'll have found it. Then you find the person is married and they found they are still searching. Then they say, okay, if I get this number of degrees, I'll be accomplished. Some people, they have so many degrees, they are getting a temperature. And then after your fifth doctorate, you realize
something. Still lost.
You're still there's something.
Something missing.
And then you say, okay, if I have children, people to carry on my
legacy,
DNA, you know, like to leave behind human beings who carry my name, then you find people have children, and they're still feeling like
lost.
Something is missing. Then say, let me make money. People thinketh respect. Money maketh man. Money maketh Mad. Not man. Rather, man maketh money. Anyway, so you look.
Money maketh not man.
Those MCs money that don't laugh at money. My jokes. I see you in that missional community. Is that why you have hard corn and water?
Guys.
Make some tea. Now, people look for money.
Yeah.
And they work hard at it. Then they hit what they call midlife crisis. Midlife crisis, I'm told. I've never found it. But
they say
around 40.
40.
Hey.
I'm told it comes.
What does it look like?
That's the thing.
Okay.
What it looks like is you realize you have a house, you have a wife, you have children, you have a good job.
Have a good car.
You're crying at night. Yeah, you don't know what's wrong with me. Why am I sad?
Why
am I so unhappy?
Yeah,
I thought I would find it in the house.
Yeah.
I thought if I just buy a new car. Have you ever been there?
Mm-hmm.
This has been my experience. When you get a new car, at least where I live, the first 2 weeks.
Heaven.
The way you move through the potholes. Huh? They would think you bought a Rolls Royce. Because you go, just, you find the humps. Is that how you go for the humps with your new car?
Oh, yes.
That's what pretending to not know. You are watching out for all the boda guys to make sure they don't come near you to scratch your car.
Scratch the car.
You abuse everyone.
Let them pass.
Let them pass.
You're kind on the road.
Then 2 months later, you find the humps. Potholes. What happened? I don't know. What happens to a car after some days?
Maybe they pass on.
So you realize you're empty.
Yeah.
The man is looking for his maker. Because you were not made to be satisfied by the things of this world.
Yeah.
Pastor Robert Morris put it this way. He said, your body came from dirt.
Yes.
Is sustained by dirt and will go back
to dirt.
Your spirit came from God, is sustained by God,
and will go back to God.
And until you find that place, life will continue to be as such.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You guys can say something into that.
Me, I'm not a man.
Do you have a husband?
Yes.
Do you have disciples who are men?
Okay. No, Apostle, I think...
Haven't you encountered these things as a pastor?
Yeah, I have encountered these things as a pastor, especially in the 40s.
Oh, yes.
I don't know why, because at that point is when the younger men are looking at the older, at these men in their 40s and saying, I want to be like that, you know.
Yeah.
They're looking at them, they have some money, they have a family, they have, you know, they have a name, they have the things you desire as a young man, and yet... At the same time, I've found that it's the most counseling we're doing that has a lot of pain and brokenness is also in that same age group, in the 40s, at the time when people seem to be most accomplished. And many of them had moved away quite a bit from the maker. And were in pursuit of something that looked really what the world has painted as satisfying, and now they are coming back and saying
because they found it doesn't work.
It doesn't work, and it's in coming back to what looks like the simple place of being connected to God that the meaning is restored.
As reminded of what Jesus said, that what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose their soul. And I think a man loses their soul when they lose connection with their maker. A picture that came to my mind is of a fish in water. Simple thing. Imagine, let's say water. This context is God. Your context. It's like, if you take the fish and take it out of water, it doesn't matter what you do with it. You can put it on top of a tree, take it on top of a house. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
And it will malfunction. It will die.
Yeah.
So a man, any man, if you take them away from their maker, from the presence of God, it's just a matter of time. Yeah, it's just a time game. They may look like they are happy, but it's a time game. They may look like they are accomplished, but it's a time game. With time, they will need to get back there if they are to find fulfillment and life and live the true life. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth,
and the life.
Yeah.
And no one comes to the Father except through me.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. So the man and his maker, we all need God. And then you may find that there is a category of people who, yes, they are born again.
Yeah.
Maybe they go to church or they said yes to God. But functionally, you know, it's like when you're married, but you don't talk to your spouse.
Mercy, Lord.
You have the papers that prove you're married, but there's nothing good happening there.
Yeah.
So some people, they walked forward, they said the sinner's prayer, I don't know what, maybe they cried a tear or two. But functionally, day to day. Remember that little book we read some time ago by Brother Lawrence? The practice of the presence of God. That awareness that He is with me.
Yes.
When you wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy I know who, when he wakes up in the morning, the first thing he does as soon as his feet hit the floor, he says, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Wow.
Those are the first words that go out of his mouth every day.
Wow.
Hey! Hey! My God.
But you may be there. Yes, you said yes to God, but functionally.
Yeah.
Mm. You know that thing?
There's a disconnect.
What is written versus what is experienced. There's a disconnect.
Mm.
You don't sense the presence.
Yeah.
You don't see the miracles.
Yeah.
You don't see, you don't feel the joy.
Yes.
And so, there's some of that.
Yeah. Mm.
What would you say to a man who is in that place?
You know, the moment you said that, what came to mind was David. David is called a man after God's own heart, King David. And in one of the Psalms, he writes and says, restore to me
the joy
Psalm 51. Of my salvation. Meaning
the sad Psalm.
Yeah, the sad Psalm. That even for David, a man who was deeply connected to God, he went through a season when he felt that...
He drifted.
Yeah.
Yes.
Drifting.
You and I were somewhere where someone would talk about
drifting. Oh, yes. Yeah, and that he, like we were told just the other day that no one wakes up and intentionally desires to drift. But we can drift. And David drifted. But he had the sense to come back and say, Lord, I sense a disconnect. Restore. To restore means that there was a place I was at before that I left.
Yep.
And he says, restore to me the joy.
Of
your salvation and uphold me. And then what I thought about when you said that is that one of the markers for a man to know where we stand in our connection functionally to God is our joy.
Oh, yes.
It's when life has lost its flavor, when there's no joy.
Mm-hmm.
The things are there, but they carry no joy, no pleasure. When life has lost its pleasure. And I think that is actually the mercy of God in taking, in that pleasure being taken away. God is giving you an opportunity to recognize that something is off and that
all these other things
are not
the pleasure
exactly.
And the joy. Yeah,
yeah. So in that joy being taken away, actually God is having mercy on a person to be able to know that, hey, this stuff is not it.
Mm-hmm.
To come back to the simplicity. So what would I say to that man? It's that there is hope. You can actually be restored.
Yeah.
You can be restored.
Yeah.
And this, I think that's why we are having
this
conversation right now. Yeah.
Oh yes, restore to me the joy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I would say kind of the same that there is hope.
But do you hear the English Master
kind
Blesson
of the same.
Nowadays?
What's happening? Yeah.
Kind of the same. You've been hanging out a lot with the new thing team. It's a new thing.
In 2 days, if we give him a month, what will happen?
Those who are not coming to proclaim,
you'll
find that your accent is still from the village. Hey. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would say
kind of the same.
The same. to the man, because there've been episodes in my life where I've felt like I've drifted.
Yeah.
And I would say something similar, that that drifting doesn't happen in one day. You don't wake up one day and you find that, yo, I've drifted.
Yeah.
It's like a journey. It's what someone called in a song a slow fade. Like yo.
Papa bless so.
Merci Lord. What am I saying? It's like a slow fade. So you wake up that one day, you've not prayed that day, and you somehow think it's kawa. It's okay, I'm not going to do that. You wake up another day, you haven't read your Bible. You wake up that other day, you choose not to go for MC that week. You say, no, I'm too busy with work. I'll show up next week. And so you don't know, but you're drifting slowly away from your maker.
Yeah.
And I would say that Director Grace said, he was answering a question about date, his debt. He said that
we'll be bringing him here soon.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We wanted to first bring you the softer side of things.
He said that you behave your way into debt and you behave your way out of debt. And I would tell that man the same thing, that you behave your way out of connection and contact with your maker, and you can behave your way back into it.
Wow.
Yeah, by doing some of the disciplines we've been taught. Read your Bible, pray, fellowship, come for MC, attend man talk. Yeah, things like that. So that's what I would say to them.
Powerful, beautiful. Now, when we started, we just went into the deep end. But maybe let me give you the overall thing, and then we'll keep going back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we said the man and his maker. Mm-hmm. That's the first one. The second is the man and his mission. Are you a man on a mission?
Mm-hmm.
The third is the man and his maiden. Oh, I can confirm that mine is in the studio.
I can confirm that mine is online.
I don't know why Mint is not playing something romantic.
Is this
how people express their jealousy?
Yeah.
Is he drifting?
And the fourth, we said the man and his munchkins. Mm. Those are the children. We found out the nearest M word. And the fifth is the man and his men. His men friends.
That one, Apostle.
The four people who will take you to Jesus when you have leprosy.
Come on.
And leprosy could be you're trying to leave your wife. Leprosy could be you are so much in debt. Leprosy could be that
you've left the fellowship.
Any type of leprosy where it wasn't leprosy.
What?
It was what?
He was crippled.
Can you imagine the pastor of Worship Harvest is misallocating the scriptures and saying that the man they brought to Jesus had leprosy? He was crippled.
We even talked about leprosy. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
What are you saying?
Crippledness could be all the things I said before.
Yes,
anyway,
yes.
So you need men. You need men. You need people. Also, it could be you're just in a difficult place. You've done everything you know how to do, and the money is not
working.
Adding up.
Yeah.
The marriage is not working yet. You have a headache. Wondering where do I go? I remember now, this is not to dive too far, but I remember like when I spent 4 months without paying rent.
You?
Yeah.
Apostle?
And it's not because I didn't want to pay.
Are you sure?
No.
Will
was present with me.
But how to practice
I could not find. So you may be a man out there. You're like, man, I'm going to be evicted.
And you are married, Apostle.
Yeah. I'm going to be evicted. But you need some people around you.
Oh, yes.
To say, can we figure it out? Yeah. So the man and his men.
Wow.
The man and his mentor. That is the sixth one.
Yes.
Every man needs a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
A discipler.
Mm-hmm.
A person that has gone ahead of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The people ahead of you will give you the speed. yeah. you need. The reason most men move so slowly mm-hmm. is they are following themselves.
I don't even know.
If you're following yourself, you have already arrived where you're going. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Mercy.
Yeah.
The man and his mentor. I have been blessed to have so many people in my life to show me the way. When I hit a ceiling, you know, I was taking Dave around the building and showing him all these people on the walls. And I'm like, these people, God has used them to unlock things in our ministry that we would still be stuck. You know, we would still be stuck down there.
I can't
Ebo.
I don't want to think about it.
At that one location, which is a lovely location, but you know.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Then the man, the man and his money.
Money.
And we are going to take time through the different Wednesdays.
I can't wait to unpack some of these ones.
Yes.
So keep inviting people to your mission or community to be part of this discussion.
But first of all, ask people to tell you what you want them to talk about.
Yeah.
They told you, they gave you answers.
Where are the answers?
They are all over YouTube.
They are going to send, you will tell me. Now, YouTube, we are live on YouTube, so share the link. Go there, make comments. We are live on Spirit TV. Spirit TV, thank you for being our media partners.
Oh,
if you are watching us on Spirit TV, you cannot make comments.
No. Okay, you can, but
you
we
can,
will
but
not.
You won't get in the comments.
You can talk back to the television.
Okay. And live on Spirit FM, live on radio. Those who are listening to us on radio, welcome to MC Live. We are so glad you could join us today. I think we're also live on Facebook Live and Instagram Live and Twitter.
X.
Twitter has an X.
It has an X.
Okay, where do you want us to go? People continue to talk about volume. Volume.
Is the volume thing real or it's like the thing of
maybe some people don't know how to turn up the volume on their own.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, today is Pastor Florence Senyonjo's birthday.
Yes.
Is she in the house?
She's in the house.
She is.
Come on now.
She even led prayer.
So, the man and his maker. Can we move on to the man and his mission, or do you still have some lingering thoughts?
Apostle, there's a question here that may be in line with the man and his maker. He says, please talk about men being the priests of home. Maybe.
I've never seen that scripture, but let Apostle tell us.
Men being the priests.
In the home.
In the home.
So is that notion out there?
What does that mean practically?
Yeah.
Well, there are many things you could do, but I think that the most important thing you can do is be a great example to your children. Children are totally traumatized by people who say one thing and behave
a
different
another.
Way. If for nothing, I think that's the most important thing. Be the example they need to see, so that when you're telling them about God, they are not confused. And then pray for your children. For your children. Being a priest in the home means to pray for them. Teach them some of those basics, how to pray, how to read their Bible, etc. But your most important role is to be a great example.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
what
powerful.
I would say.
Wow.
That's at least that's what I've found with my own children.
Yeah.
Everything else, I can be helped.
Yeah.
Mm.
I can't be helped in the area of being an example.
No.
They have only one dad, that's me.
Yeah.
They have only one mom, that's her.
Yeah.
They have only one example, that's us.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
We'll talk about that
that's
more.
That's profound. Yeah.
But I just, that's the answer that comes to mind. Because I think sometimes we are dying to do all these other things where people have to pray, read your Bible together.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, if the Holy Spirit doesn't touch your children, that's why you find people who may have grown up in Christian homes not walking with God, and people who grew up in hostile environments loving God with all their heart.
Yeah.
It's the Holy Spirit that makes a difference.
Wow.
So pray for your children. Allow the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Teach them the basics they need to know.
Yeah.
But don't shove faith
down their
throat. That may not work very well.
Wow.
But be a great example. Loving.
Yeah.
as a parent, if you had to choose between loving and teaching, what was Leviticus?
Leviticus.
No, do the loving part.
Wow.
I would say that with all my heart.
Wow.
Yeah, because Jesus was full of grace and truth. Grace first, truth next. Wow. When you behave a certain way toward your children, I'm surprised how my kids tell me my sermons back to me, and I'm like, oh, so you were listening. I didn't think.
Wow.
But it's, yeah.
Grace.
What I work on, at home, I'm not Apostle Mose. Mm. Yeah, at home, I'm daddy.
Wow.
And they want daddy, not pastor.
Apostle.
Apomo. What a shock.
Apostle Mo.
Yes.
The thought I have from a lady's perspective, because when we look at men, to us, you're like, I can't explain to you what a man is strong. A man is, yeah, like when we look at, we depend on you, we feel like you guys, you have it all figured out. Genuinely. Like men, you have the answers, you're the leaders. For us, we are shocked if we can lead. We've grown up being pointed.
What's happening? Are we pumping?
It's really not working.
It doesn't work.
As you can see, it doesn't work. But for us, as ladies, I don't know, when you see a man who is submitted to God,
it gives you confidence.
But also, it's a mark of great strength. Because when you see, now, Apostle, you see how, maybe you can't know properly inside my heart. But the way I esteem you and I look at you, what happens to me is that when I find you esteeming another person, in my head, they must be very great.
Yeah.
Because when the person who you esteem a certain way esteems another, that person is higher than them to you. Mm-hmm. So when we see a man, even as women, when you see your pastor who is a man, or just a man in the church who you already in your mind you think men are strong, men have it all figured out, men don't break, men are this, it's us women who are weak. Bible calls us the weaker vessel, so we are okay. So we are not really arguing. When you see a man, there's something that happens, Apostle, even in church, when a woman is submitted to God, it's nice, it's really nice. But when you see a man submitted to God, it's so powerful. It's so powerful. Whether he holds a microphone or not, it is like when you see men getting slain, you know that there's the presence of God is real here. It's not when women are being slain. I mean, he could be there, you don't know. But when men get slain, you're like, I swear, God is here. Have you seen the other man fell down? So maybe you don't know that. You don't know how we see you. But for me, I think when a man connects with his maker, it's not only for their children in the natural, for the church.
Yeah.
When the church sees men who are submitted to God,
America,
I don't have the words or the vocabulary for it, but it is powerful. But in my mind, because of how we see men, I think it takes a humble man to depend on God, to be submitted to God, and to not be ashamed to show that they are submitted to God and connecting with God and dependent on God.
Hey. Is that what these people think?
That's
about?
What we see.
Well, yeah, that's important. There's it's almost like a paradox of sorts. The kingdom of God seems to be paradoxical.
Come on now.
Our apostle went to school.
What's the other word? I need to make it even heavier. There's another word.
Oxymoron. No, it's not.
Anyway.
But paradoxical.
Paradoxical.
Yes.
Where Jesus says, if you want to be great, become a servant of all. He who wants friends must show himself to be
friendly.
You don't start by demanding friendship. You start by giving friendship. Okay? Give and it will come back to you. Good measure, press down, shake it together. With the same measure that you use to be measured back to you. That there's that paradox. And when I used to teach, remember a couple of times I taught through Colossians 1? I took like a whole day teaching Colossians 1. But there's somewhere there where Paul writes some very interesting things. And one time God opened my eyes to see that the most powerful thing you'll ever do with your life is to surrender it. Because to us, surrender is such a bad thing. It's like you're weak. You're saying, oh, don't beat me, okay? You're born.
Yeah.
Usually when we are tickling each other with Angela, my daughter.
Oh, no.
I surrender before we start.
Yeah.
not Angela, my daughter, Okulo.
No. Oh. Mirembe.
Angela Mirembe.
Wow.
Yeah, she has a way of... I mean, I just know this is going to go bad. So I surrender before we start. but for most people, especially men, surrender is such a bad. Well, it's like you're weak, you're fickle. But before God, the most powerful thing you'll ever do with your life is to surrender it. Surrendered people are very powerful. Paul writes and says, "We already had the sentence of death in ourselves." In 2 Corinthians chapter 1:2, and then he says that. We find that death is working in us, but life in you. It's what Jesus says in John 12:23
and
24.
Unless
a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if
it bears much.
It brings forth much.
24.
Much grain. And then he says something there interesting in verse 25 and 6, I think. If you click down, it will go 25. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates will gain it for it. And then it goes to 26. He says that if anyone serves me,
let him
follow me. What's the context of following him that he was talking about? Dying. Because he was talking about dying. And says, if you claim to be a servant of mine, this is the journey. We are going down to Death Valley.
Yeah.
And says, where I am, there my servant will be also. Then he finishes it in a complete paradoxical way.
Come on now.
He says, if anyone serves me, which is serves me, dies with me, follows me. My Father will honor. Do you know how much lengths people go to honor themselves? Like, you know, if someone calls you and says, I am apostle. You've used the wrong
title. Yeah.
Oh, no title.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm apostle, pastor,
doctor.
I don't yet have a doctorate, but when you add it, and then because I'm also ordained, reverend, apostle, pastor, doctor, bishop.
Patriarch. Demagogue.
Demagogue is not a biblical word. So the lengths we go to honor ourselves, to put our best foot forward, to be respectable, to be known. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
But to think that God in heaven can honor a man.
A man.
And when God honors you, there's nothing anyone can ever do to take that honor out. But that's the power of surrender. You started it. That's the power of surrender for us men. And I think a lot of men, maybe they're wondering, what's this? What's next? How do I navigate this?
Yeah.
I would say surrender.
Surrender.
Just surrender it to God, whatever it is. And surrender yourself to God. It makes you very powerful. Yeah. And stop him. Pastor Blesso. Uh-huh. Say something.
I was reading a psalm this morning, Psalm 91. It says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He says in verse 2 that I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. So a person who is saying that of the Lord is a person who has decided to submit. Yeah. Who knows that wealth is not my refuge. Fame is not my refuge. Or whatever it is, not my refuge.
Yeah.
He says, I will say the Lord. That is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I'll trust. And then he starts listing down what God will do for this man.
Yeah.
From verse 3, he says, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. In verse 4, he says, he shall cover you with his feathers and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. He lists quite a number of things down there to just show that when you're submitted to God, when you choose to say that God is my refuge, God is my shield, God is my fortress, and you humble yourself, when you submit to God, then he will lift you up. He will fight your battles. He will honor you, like Apostle has told us, like we've seen in John. Yeah, so there is power in surrender to God for any man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So the man and his maker. To know God, to be intimate with him, to not just have a
mentor,
a registered relationship. You know, your name is registered in heaven, but your neighbors don't even know that you have a relationship with God. Your housemates are suspicious whether you know God or not. And that's just from a place of surrender and intimacy and being vulnerable with God. When you read the Psalms, you see that David didn't have a pretentious relationship with God.
Not at all.
He wrote everything down.
Yeah.
The bad stuff. Sometimes like, what's this guy doing? Does he fear God? But that's the life of a person who surrendered to God.
Wow.
And the secret of men is in their daily routines. You are not growing your relationship with God by wishing to grow in your relationship with God. You have to pick up that phone and go to the YouVersion app instead of the WhatsApp app.
Yeah.
And get on to what are those things called?
Bible plan.
Get on a Bible plan and start and reading
it.
Look, the Bible is powerful. You know, it says, my son, attend to my words. Give attention to my words.
Incline
your ear to my sayings.
Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart.
For they are life to those who find them. And health to all their flesh. That's the word of God. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But you know, you cannot connect the Bible to your, there is no cable to connect, and then the word starts getting into you. You have to read it. You have to pray. All these things take time. Prayer takes time.
And discipline.
Takes time. This morning I woke up and took a walk to pray. I don't know where you prayed, but prayer takes time. Bible reading takes time.
Oh yes.
You will never become better by accident. Fellowshipping with other people takes time. Those are three of the four critical things that you have to do to be a healthy Christian. Reading your Bible every day, praying every day, finding a place of fellowship as much as possible every day, whether it's one-on-one,
a group,
church, etc., and witnessing
every day.
Telling people about Jesus.
Oh, yes.
That's how life works.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And to do that well, you go to bed early. If you're there squinting before your laptop up to 1 a.m., you're not going to wake up to pray or read your Bible. Let's get practical. Everyone wants to have a prayer life.
We do.
While going to bed at 11. Oh. It will never work. Do you know B.B. Wynant? B.B. Wynant, the musician.
Yes.
You don't know him personally?
Not yet.
Sorry.
Will you introduce us?
B.B. Wynant goes to bed at 6 p.m.
Okay, these are levels.
This is like one of the most popular musicians in the gospel world.
Also, ever, come on.
With several Grammys.
Across many.
Go and check his Instagram. He goes to bed at 6 a.m. and he gets up. 6 p.m. and he gets up at way early. He exercises every daylight. Day, every morning. They run with his friends. They run every day from like 4 a.m. to 6 p.m. Yeah.
What must we do to be saved?
You don't grow old uselessly for nothing. You know, some people, they are growing old and they don't need to grow old. You know, when you don't sleep, you grow old.
Uselessly?
Yes. You grow old unnecessarily. Yeah. You look at me, I'm a young man.
Oh, yes. Do you sleep at 6 p.m.?
No.
Okay, it's past your bedtime.
Well, it's 55 minutes past bedtime.
I try to sleep by 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
9 o'clock. If you sleep at 9, at 4 a.m., you'll be as awake as awake can be.
Yeah.
And you can start your life. By 10 o'clock, you've finished everything all the average people are trying to do by 5 p.m.
Wow.
Violence has come to MC Life.
We are talking about the man and his maker.
Okay.
Let's be practical.
Yes.
If you go to bed at 9... by 4 a.m., you'll have slept 7 hours.
7 hours.
7 hours is really good.
Yep.
And by 10 a.m., typically in myself, by midday, my day is done.
It's true.
The productive part of it. So right now, you are in my surplus.
Not a surplus.
We are blessed.
So I seem to have 1.5 days every
you
day.
You do.
So that's why I get a lot done.
Yeah.
So you watched TV, series, football, slept at 1 o'clock. You wake up at 7. Look, even the birds are about to retire by that time. You wake up at 7, you're still sleepy.
Oh, yeah. No.
By the time you finish the traffic jam, you reach your shop at 10. The customers have been asking, is this business still
has not yet come.
By the time you
didn't pray.
You didn't pray.
You the customers are annoyed. You were in the traffic. You don't know where your children
that
are.
Devil is
because they left for school while you were still sleeping. And then you said that devil is fighting you. The devil needs a good lawyer. You are fighting yourself.
Mercy. You're helping us.
Violence.
We like to make
it's
it real
message.
Around here. Oh, what yes. time do you go to bed? I can show you your results based on the time you tell me. Once you tell me the time you go to bed, I can say, oh, I see.
I understand.
Yeah, that explains your level of prosperity,
Mercy.
Your level of health, your level of influence,
Apostle, we are going
knowledge,
to go to bed by 9.
And other things. Praise God. Those of you who text me at 11 o'clock asking for someone's phone number.
No! We slept at 6 p.m., okay?
So you are awake by 11.
Woke up at 11.
No, please.
You guys, our time is
people
up.
People prefer Ephesians. Can we go back to Ephesians? We don't like man talk.
No, we like
this
man
is man talk.
It's real.
Go to bed early.
Yes.
Read your Bible early.
Oh, yes.
Pray.
Fellowship.
Find a place of fellowship. And do some exercise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please elucidate.
The man and his I will not say much because Dan Ferguson is in the house. So I will just keep it easy.
Keep it easy.
I say do some
exercise.
Yeah. You know, there are some things where you find that even if you wanted to teach about it a lot, the level of moral authority
is still growing.
Yeah. So yeah. I can say just do some exercise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, do you know I have a treadmill in my house?
I do.
Yes.
Well, yes.
I've seen it.
Do you know, I used it the other day.
Which day, Apostle? Which day?
No, he wasn't.
We've been together somewhere.
Yeah.
Where? So, which day?
The one in my house.
The one in the house.
The other day doesn't mean the day before yesterday.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That's old English.
Oh.
The other day can be any day recently.
Where am I attacked?
The man and his maker.
English.
Our time is up. Invite these people to give their lives to Jesus. Those who don't know, we can have so much fun in Christ.
This is wonderful. Wow. Can we first appreciate this crew?
The mantle crew.
The mantle crew.
That has a woman in it.
Ooh, that has a woman in it. I love it. This is really, really wonderful, and I think that it's a setup. Yes, sir.
It's 9 p.m. for women also, or just a men?
Apostle, we are wondering if these instructions are for men and women.
Some of you are incorrigible. Let's go. Let's finish.
It is for all men and women together. Everything, I really want to speak to a person, a man or a woman who's watching. Mm. And I think the message that God is giving us today is to surrender. That your strongest place is when you've surrendered to God.
Yeah.
And to surrender your life is not to lose it. It's to gain
it.
So much more. It's to gain so much more. So I want to invite you to surrender your life to Jesus. The failures, the difficulties, the complexities, the successes, the achievements, to say, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to give you this life of mine so that you can give me life in all its fullness. And it's very simple. The Bible tells us that you just believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's above you.
Oh, yes.
And you receive him. That he died for your sins.
Yeah.
And you just receive him in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we are going to do. So if you're in the missional community right now, and you're the one we are talking about, you've never made a decision to follow Jesus and to submit your life fully to him, I want you to put your hand up where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Just to identify with Jesus. Yes, put the hand up. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear stop you. Put your hand up. If you're driving that car, park it on the side of the road. We are about to do something very powerful. If you're in the office or by yourself, if you tuned in and you think it was accidental, it's not. I'd like you to pray this simple prayer from your heart to God after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Today.
I submit myself to you.
I boldly declare.
I boldly declare
that you are my Lord and my Savior.
That you are my Lord and my Savior.
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
I thank you for forgiving me.
I thank you for forgiving
of all my sins.
Of all my sins.
And so today. I am a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
Take my life.
Take my life.
And do something significant with it.
And do something significant with it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Welcome. We want to connect you to a loving family. Would you write down this number and send us a message immediately? There's a pastor holding the phone right now waiting to connect with you. The phone number is 0775-642449. If you're outside Uganda, that's plus 256-775-642449. Send us a message. Say, I receive Jesus today on MC Live. We want to pray with you and connect you to a family of faith where you can grow in your new life in Jesus. Welcome.
Amen.
Ooh, what a blessing. What can we give God a praise
for
such a great time? And yes, you're joining us, and you know, we serve a God of miracles. He does the impossible. On this MC Live, we've seen deaf ears open, all kinds of sicknesses healed, and all kinds of things, all kinds of provision. God bringing things back to life. And we want to believe with you. Man or woman, you find you're in a difficult situation, you are in a hard place, and you're believing God. Just pray, even in your mission of communities. You can pray, in the spirit, you can pray in tongues, you can pray in English, you can pray in whichever way you want to pray. But we are believing God for a significant miracle in your life right now. Because our Father loves you, and he does great things for us. There's nothing he withholds from those who love him. And I know you love him. You want to serve him. You're on your journey toward him. So Father, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for the work of heart. The entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. I pray for my brother, my sister, whoever is on this broadcast, whether on TV, YouTube, Facebook, radio, wherever they are, I pray for a major breakthrough this week, whatever the issue is, whatever the sickness is, if you're sick in any part of your body, I need you to put your hand where the pain is, where the sickness is. If you're in a place where you can do that, if not, just put it in your chest and believe God with me. Thank you, Father. I expel all manner of sickness. Your word declares how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We know you are with us. We know Jesus is with us. Then we are two or three or more gathered, I'll be in your midst. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak to every spirit of infirmity that's keeping you down, to leave you. We command that temperature to go, that pain to go, those organs to start organizing themselves to function the way God created them to do. That skin itching, that skin disease to leave you. May you have sweet sleep tonight. Those dreams, that oppression, waking up scared at night, may that end tonight.
Yes.
May you sleep till morning,
oh, yes,
without anything waking you up. No more fear. No more fear. No more fear. No more fear. We reject fear. We reject discouragement. We reject it. We refuse it. It's not a part of our lives. Someone, you've been in intense fear. You've been waking up scared. You've been so unsure. You know, you will make it.
Oh, yes.
You may be in a place where you wonder, how will I make it? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But God knows.
Oh, yes.
You will make it.
Thank you, Jesus.
You don't have to fear.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
every sir. Addiction to nicotine, to drugs, to alcohol, to pornography, to whatever it is, to food, be broken in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
May God's children find freedom. Be broken. Command an end to that oppression. And we speak the presence of God upon you, wherever you are.
Yes, Lord.
Receive. Some of you are receiving gifts of the Spirit. Maybe you've never even prayed in tongues before and you feel something coming out of your mouth. Just receive it. Maybe something is becoming so clear. I get it in my sort of my head that someone, there's an issue that has been going on, and right now, somehow supernaturally, it's becoming so clear what to do.
Yes.
Maybe you needed to submit a list of items or names. I don't know what it is, but what I know is that there's a sense of clarity.
Yes.
It's so clear in your head. You know your next step so clearly. It's not natural. It is God helping you. God works through our minds as well. God works through our situations, and God is helping you. So thank you, Father, for your kindness. Thank you for those that have given their lives to you on this broadcast. There are some of you who gave your life to Christ sometime this year, but the walk hasn't been easy. Find fellowship. Go to church. Go to the mission community. That's what God is telling you. Come to church this Sunday. Go to a place. I really feel like God is helping us.
Amen.
God is helping us. In your mission committee, where you are, some of you are watching me, you even feel tears coming down your eyes. God is helping you. He's trying to manifest himself to you, to show you that you are not alone. Life is not dry and empty. You will make it.
You will
make it. You will make it. The breakthrough will come. The miracle will come.
Oh yes.
It may have taken long.
Thank you, Jesus.
But it will come. Yes. It will come. You will make it.
Yes.
Do not give up. Do not take your life.
Yes.
Do not commit suicide. You will make it. God is for you.
Yes.
God is with you.
Oh yes.
And he's fighting this battle for you. So may God bless you.
Amen.
May he cause his face to shine on you.
Amen.
May your body leave for Amen. Whatever reason.
Amen.
It's not there legally. It should go away.
Oh, yes.
May you be provided for.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
May the Lord make a way for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Even in the midst of need.
Yes.
May the Lord make a way for you.
Oh, yes.
To be the one to provide for others.
Amen.
I really hear that strongly.
Amen.
Someone in the midst of need, but God is going to make a way for you to be a conduit of blessing to others.
Yes.
To change your story from the needy one to the blessed one.
Oh, yes.
May God bless you.
Amen.
Even as you continue in your mission or communities, you're blessed.
Amen.
You're going to go into your hurdles. You'll ask, what is Jesus saying to me?
What
am I going to do about it? What is Jesus saying to you? What are you going to do about it? We love you. You are amazing. See you on Sunday at Garage, different locations, different times. Watch out for the time for your location. Some of you are so blessed, you'll have some of these powerful new things. Pastors come into your locations. Just watch out for that. Proclaim is tomorrow. We start at 7 o'clock. We don't start at 6 o'clock. We usually start at 6 o'clock, but this time we're starting at 7 o'clock. So be in the room by 7 and there'll be prayer going on. And then everything will just go through the day. God bless you. You're amazing.
Oh, yes.
Woo! Again, we've been blessed to have in the studio the new thing team. Led by none other than Dave Ferguson. God bless you.
Bless you. For listening to this teaching. We hope that you've been blessed by the Worship Harvest Sermon Series. For more teachings and other resources, visit www.worshipharvest.org or call 0393-281-555. That is 0393-281-555.